week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
What a beautiful thought that I'm thinking concerning the great speckled bird. Remember, her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch every move that she makes. They try to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistakes. In the presence of her despisers, with a song never uttered before, she'll arise and be gone in a moment, for her great tribulations are o'er. Flavory. Let's give her a big hand for that. I'll tell you. If Marie leaves me anything in her will, I hope she leaves me that talent. You ever notice she played the guitar? She played the bass guitar. Now she's playing a steel guitar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad that I've learned about His meekness, and I'm proud that my name is in His book. For I want to be one, never fearing, on the face of my Savior I look. I like this one. When He cometh descending from heaven, on the clouds as He rides in His word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet Him on the wings of that great speckled bird. I surveyed all His goodness that comes to me from above, and I could count all of the blessings from out the storehouse of His love. I'd simply ask for one favor of Him beyond mortal kin. I'm sure He'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you someday. All of our troubles and our heartaches have truly vanished away. And we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we've been longing to see, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans now, you see. But come the morning of that rapture, together we will stand anew, and then I'll stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll up in heaven with you someday, when all of troubles, all our heartaches have truly vanished away. And we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over the heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you on that day when all of your troubles, all of your heartaches have truly vanished away. And we'll enjoy all its beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
If I knew that it would be the last time that I'd ever see you fall asleep, I'd tuck you in more tightly. I'd pray the Lord your soul would keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you walk out the door, I would give you a big old hug and a kiss, and I'd call you back for more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I would video the tape each action and word so I could play them back each day. If I knew it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute, I'd stop and say I love you, instead of assuming that you would just know that. If I knew it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more. So can I just for this one time let it slip? For surely there's always tomorrow to make up for our oversight. And we always get the second chance to make everything just right. There will always be another day, I say, I love you. And certainly there's another chance to say anything I can do. But just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you. And I hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not just a promise to anyone, young or old alike. And today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret that you didn't do it today. That you didn't take that extra time for just a smile, a hug, or a kiss. Because you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their very last wish. So hold your loved ones each close, very close today. And whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them. And you'll always hold them dear. Take time to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Or, oh, it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll never have regretted that you did that today. Reading from Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Now his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, but yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'd like to speak today on great faith in the time of discouragement. Notice here the Bible said that this lady had great faith. Two times in the Bible you'll find Jesus using the word great faith. What was it about her faith that would cause Jesus to call it great faith? In Matthew 8 and 10, Jesus marvels and said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. That was the centurion. The centurion came and said to Jesus, Just speak the word. You don't have to go. Just simply speak the word and my servant shall be healed. But why did Jesus call it great faith? In Matthew 15 and 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter, according to Scripture, was made whole from that very hour. We hear the words of Jesus many times saying, O ye of little faith, wherefore have you doubted? It is sometime when things are at their very worst. That's when we really see great faith. The woman came and said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." The centurion said, "My servant is grievously ill." So you see, it's when we come to our most disastrous moments, it's when we come to our worst moments, and all of a sudden we realize that Jesus can do something about our problem. The woman's faith was great because she had so little to base it upon. The only thing she could base her faith was on is that she was convinced of what she heard. You know, in this day and time, we have heard so much. I've heard preaching ever since I was just a little boy. I've always said it. I have been the person that's gone to church 9 months before I was ever born. My mother took me to church, and I was reared in the church. I was brought up in the church. I've said it so many times that I was a druggie. My mother drugged me to church, drugged me to Bible study, drugged me to Sunday school. She drugged me to church. But I'm so thankful for that today. And I heard a lot of preaching. A lot of preaching I heard, but yet I didn't hear. Jesus said, having ears to hear, but they hear not. And there's been enough preaching today to save the entire world, if we would only move with our faith at what we've heard. She came only convinced by what she had heard. She came believing that Jesus could meet her need. That's very important. That's why that I like the theme of my broadcast, something to believe in. Because the Bible said, through faith, all things are possible to them that will believe. It was a very personal request for her daughter. It was a powerful request in verse 22. O Lord, have mercy upon me. You see, she realized that the word mercy would only be used when it seemed to be a hopeless case. When all hope was gone, when there seems to be no other way, God still yet presents His mercy. And this woman knew that if her daughter was going to be healed, it's going to take an act of mercy to get it done. She knew to receive a miracle, it would be God's mercy that would bring the miracle to her daughter. She was honest in her confession. Notice in verse 22, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She faced the situation. She said, "My daughter," a very personal contact between her and Christ. "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She realized her problem. She realized that it was a problem that it would take God to answer. You see, sir, you and I have no power or authority over the devil unless God gives it to us. But He gives us power according to the Bible. If we're going to receive something from God, you're going to have to be honest with God. You're going to have to say to God, "Here's my problem. Here's my situation." You've got to come point blank with God. And when you do come with your request, simply tell Him what your request is. She was humble in her request. She simply said in verse 25, "Lord, help me." I mean, what else is to be said? Because those words which is coming from the heart, not only the lips, she was desperately in need of being helped, and only God could help her. She could care less what others might have thought. You see, all of a sudden, resentment begins. You know, when we come to Christ with a situation, resentment will begin. Notice in verse 23, the disciples said, "She crieth after us." But it was not her, the disciples that she was crying after, it was Jesus Christ, because she was crying after the source of her healing. She wasn't discouraged by the others. Had she listened to the disciples, had she listened to the crowd, they would have been willing to send her away. You know, it's sad that we sometimes send people away empty. They come, they hear, but they never receive. Not everyone that hears the sermon hears, believes, and receives anything. Because they come empty, they go away empty, because they've heard some dead preacher preach some dead sermon to a dead congregation. The Word becomes alive in our heart. I've always said it's not the preacher, it's the hearer that really gets anointed to hear the message. If you're anointed to hear what the man of God has got to say, and your heart is sincere, and your soul is hungry, then you can be filled. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We're only satisfied with a message when our soul is really intent on hearing the message. Every message that we hear ought to stir our soul. We should receive something from every sermon that's preached, every time we come together to worship God. I've heard people say, well, boy, that was a dead service. When you come together and sing the songs of Zion, pray, read the scripture, sir, that's not a dead service. You see, it wasn't the service that was dead. It was simply you that was dead. No, it wasn't the starch in your collar that was choking you. It was a starch within your soul. Your ears were stopped. You could not hear because the Spirit of God had not opened your ears that you might hear. And today we have that same situation. Let him that read, according to the Bible said, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. She would not be defeated by others. And you know, we let a lot of other people defeat us. We let the backslider defeat us. And we let the hypocrite defeat us. We let other people say, well, you know, if they're going to heaven, I'd just soon not go, sir. A bad statement. Because don't let a hypocrite keep you out of heaven. Don't let a hypocrite keep you out of church. When I go to church, I go to worship God. I don't go to look around to see who's a hypocrite or who's right with God. I don't even know. Because all we like sheep are gone astray. Every man hath turned to his own way. Some of the greatest people that you think in the church is one of the greatest Christians or a saint of God. Sir, you never know. Because you see, on the outward appearance, we may look blameless and we may look pure, as white as sepulchres, as Jesus said. But on the inside, we are as raving wolves. Because inside, in our heart, there may not really be that contact between man and God. You see, we're just going through the motion. But she was determined not to be hindered. You see, Satan is in the hindering business. And Satan can use many different sources to hinder us. People will hinder you. If a lot of people say, well, if it be God's will. Well, sir, if it's healing you need, get in the Bible. A young man walks down the road. And the fellow preacher sitting on the porch said, where you going, son? Said, I'm going to get a doctor for my father. And said, what's wrong with him? Said, well, he's sick. Oh, you go back up there and you tell your father he's not really sick. He just thinks he's sick. And the boy went back and come back down the road in a little bit. And he said, where you going, son? He said, I'm going to get an undertaker. And he said, oh, why? He said, because my daddy now thinks he's dead. There's many sources of healing. Well, we're not sent here to live forever anyhow. I mean, when death comes, that is a process of God's healing. Because not all people are healed. If everybody was healed, then there would be no death. But we die. Our bodies become physically deteriorated. I mean, we die. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment. But what we're saying here is that she would not be defeated because she was determined. We need a greater determination. We need a determination that gives us great faith. You see, that great faith comes through determination. A story of the Bible that many have talked about is a woman who had the blood issue for 12 long years. She came. She saw the crowd. She said, but if I could but touch him, I can be made whole. You see, that's determination. The crowd could not keep her from touching him. She moves in. She touched the hem of his garment because she was determined. That's great faith, sir. Faith that cannot be stopped because of opposition and because of hindrance is great faith. In verse 26, she was alluded to as a dog, but yet she remained there. She said, yea.
Many times in my childhood, when I've traveled so far, by nightfall, oh how weary I had grown. Father's arms would slip around me, and he gently would say, my child, we are going home.
Well, that's our broadcast for today. You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Meadows Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Meadows Creek Road, Box 2642, Meadows Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. And as Tommy always says, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Praise God, I am going home. Now the twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end. Lord, I get homesick the farther I roam. Oh, but the Father, He has led me each step of the way, and now I am going.